One day, maybe years from now, you're going to tell a story about this season in life. Maybe you'll tell a story you're proud of. Maybe you won't. Because sometimes you have to keep going when you'd rather give up. Sometimes you have to stay when you'd rather leave. My story, I decided to stay.
Well, good morning. All of us have a story. Some of us have a story that's worthy of telling. Others of us have a story that we're not confident or comfortable sharing our story. But we all have a story. The challenge in this series is living a story worth telling. And some of you are thinking, Matt, if you just knew my past, I mean, I wish I could go back. There's so many bad things, and you're just kind of stuck. Now, I saw this quote from a British theologian and a philosopher, a Christian guy named C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis said this: you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. Isn't that awesome? Can't go back, and some of us were just stuck there. We wish we could go back and make changes, but you can't do that. But with God's help, we can change the ending. And in this series that we're talking about, My Story, Living a Life Worth Telling, you know, the key verse that we're kind of working through all these 4 weeks is found in Hebrews. It says this, that let us fix our eyes on, say it, on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. See, when Jesus writes our story, it's a life worth living and a story worth telling. But the problem is we want to write our own story, and our story ends up in the ditch. We need to keep our eyes, fix our eyes on Jesus. Now, the theme of these 4 weeks, today's part three, the theme of this is this, that the decisions we make today determine the story we will tell tomorrow. Again, you can't go back, but the decisions we make today and moving forward determines the story we'll tell tomorrow. So where we're at is we have four decisions. And the first one was I decided to start. So you got to start somewhere. You got to start a discipline. We're talking about discipline. There has to be a discipline that God wants you to start. That I've got to start praying. I've got to start reading my Bible. And I've been challenging you to read a Bible and pray every day, 30 days in a row. Get into a habit. Maybe it's a new thing. Start a new discipline. Start a new exercise. But you have to decide to start to change your story. Now, last week was a challenge. It got real, real quiet in both services because we talked about then I need to decide to stop. There are things that are hindering our story. Whether it's a habit, whether it's an attitude, whether it's a behavior, and we can come up with excuses all that we want. We can play the victim card, but we have to come to the point if we're going to live a story worth telling. I got to decide to stop this habit. I got to decide to stop this attitude. I got to stop this behavior so that God will help write a story worth telling. Today, we're going to talk about that I decided to stay. I decided to stay. And here's the challenge. Here's the tension. Do I stay the course or do I take the exit? Do I stay the course or do I exit? The challenge today is this, if you're taking notes, the central point is this. Sometimes the best decision we will ever make is to stay when it would be easier to go. Sometimes the best decision that we will ever make in our life is we decide to stay when it would be easier to go. Easier to go. Now, there are times when we need to go. There are times when what we're in is the situation that we have to go. One of my daughters, we were praying for a long time that God would give her a job, and she applied. Well, she got a full-time job, and within 1 week, we said, you need to go. Because the boss that she was working for was very unhealthy, had bipolar tendencies, and he was having inappropriate conversations with my daughter, you know, in the back office, and it was unhealthy, unhealthy, unhealthy. And there are times where we need to go. But many times what I'm talking about is you're on a path, but it gets hard. It gets difficult. There are challenges. And there's something within the American makeup, the American DNA is, how do I get out of this? This is too hard. This is too difficult. This is too challenging. So what's in your life? What is going on right now that's really hard? Maybe about your job. You know. Do you need to stay there? Maybe there's difficulty. Maybe there's a boss that's so irritating. Maybe there's a personal coworker that you know is just like so frustrating. You know, now you're facing, do I re-enlist into the military? That's a big decision. What are you going to do? Maybe there's a relationship that you're in that's no longer fun. It's actually work. Maybe you're looking at your marriage and determine, do I stay or do I go? Maybe there's a dream that you feel like God has given you, but it's hard and it's slow and you don't see any progress and it just seems hopeless and you're looking for the exit sign. Maybe it's church and you're going, man, there's some weird people that go to church and then, you know, I go there and there's changes and there's things that I don't like and it's hard and then there's leaders that I don't agree with all the time and you're questioning, what do I stay or do I go? Maybe there's a ministry that you're really struggling in. Like, man, it used to be fun, but middle school is no longer fun. Or, you know, those diapers, man, they just seem every week, every Sunday, man, it just smells worse and worse. And I don't know. This is just getting too hard, too difficult. Maybe it's your faith in God. You ever gotten frustrated with God? Ever got angry with God? I have. You can get in line behind me. I've had times having very intense conversations with God, and I'm arguing with God. You know what? I have lost every single argument. God is gracious enough to not send lightning and zap my Tahoe. But there's times you're like, I'm done. This faith journey, it's too hard. Say prayers that hit the ceiling and come back and smack me on the head. Where's God? Maybe you're in school. You're not in high school, but you're in college. And do I want that degree? I'm on the path. And man, it's hard and it's costly. And some of you, man, I'm working full time and taking online classes or taking classes at night. And I don't know if I can keep doing this. Some of the best decisions we'll ever make is when we decide to stay, when it would be easier to go. We're going to look at a person who made a decision to stay. And it was the best decision in her life. If you have a copy of God's word, turn to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. Every week we're talking about a decision that someone in the Old Testament made, and we're still telling their story today. And the book of Ruth, a little book that begins with utter hopelessness. I mean, this is a story that if you read it, if it starts right out, you're depressed. It's a challenge and it's very difficult. And it's a story that also ends with incredible hope and an amazing future. And the backstory of the book of Ruth is her mother-in-law is named Naomi. And Naomi and Elimelech, her husband, they had two boys and they were in Israel and there was a severe famine and they traveled to the neighboring country of Moab to ride out the famine. And their boys fall in love with two Moabite women and both boys get married. And then one day, Naomi gets the tragic news that her husband has died. And another tough day is one of her sons died. Then another difficult day, the last son died. So now she has no husband and no sons. She has two daughter-in-laws. And then we see in chapter 1, verse 6, it says, when Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, meaning the famine was over, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. And with her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. And I'm just picturing this mind. As she's on this road, a thought comes to her mind, like, what am I doing? What am I doing to these two girls? Verse 8 says, then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-laws, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. And may the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in a home of another husband. Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud. So just picture this. They're on this dusty road headed toward Judah, and she goes, wait a second, what am I doing? You girls, I love you, but you need to go back. Don't stay with me. I mean, you got hope, and you got a future back at home. Go back to your mom's house, where your family is, where your friends are, and I pray that God will bless you, that you have another husband and get married and start family. I mean, it makes more sense. It's logical. It's understandable. No one would have any questions. It's financially better for you than following me, staying with me, a widow, going back to Judah, where it's very difficult to live in a foreign country, let alone being a widow. Go back. They started weeping. They talked to them more, and they wept again. Verse 14. After this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Now, I've done lots of weddings over the years, and I've been at weddings where they sing a song. It's like the wife is saying, where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. And it's all romantic. And then I kind of chuckle inside going, she's not singing to her husband. She's singing to her mother-in-law. It's kind of awkward in a marriage, a wedding, that mother-in-law, where you go, I'll go. And the son's like, no, don't say that. Where you be, I will be. So here's the dilemma. Here's the choice that this young Ruth has. Do I stay with Naomi? Do I go off to her homeland? Well, I will not only be a widow, but a foreigner. But she's encouraged me to go. Go back. Go home. Find a husband there. You got friends. You got family. You got all things familiar. And she decided to stay when it would have been easier for her to go. It made more sense to go. It was logical. It was better financial. It was better relational. I mean, it was just completely understandable. But she decided to stay, and it was the best decision she ever made when she decided to stay when it was easier to go. So she goes. She stays with Naomi. And Naomi, she's bitter at God. She's angry at God. She's not a very fun person to be around. And Ruth is there, and she's young, and well, we got to get food. And in the law, they say you can go out during harvest time and allow the widows and the very, very, very poor people to follow behind. And if you're a widow, you're like underneath the level of a slave, and you could go through the fields and glean. And Ruth just so happens, coincidence, she goes to the fields belonging to this guy named Boaz, the coolest name of any guy in the Bible, Boaz. And Boaz notices her, and he tells his workers, he says, all right, you need to tell the guys, leave her alone, because women were very vulnerable, and leave her alone, do not hurt her or harm her. And hey, while you're going through picking the harvest, just drop some stalks behind. Whoops. So that she can gather them. So Ruth comes home, you know, and Naomi's like, oh my goodness, it was a good day. She goes again, the same thing happens. And then Ruth begins to ask a question in her mind. Why is this guy being so nice to me? She goes up to Boaz one day and says, why are you showing favor to me? I mean, I'm just a foreigner. Why are you showing favor to me? You know what his answer was? Because I heard your story. I heard your story in chapter 2, verse 11. Boaz replied, I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I've heard the story. And how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not even know before. I heard your story, the story of your decision to stay with Naomi. I heard it. And then verse 12 is a beautiful verse. It's like a blessing. He's like being almost prophetic. I'm going to say a blessing on you because of your decision to stay. He says, may the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. I love that last phrase. May the Lord bless you under whose wings. Under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Not the wings of Naomi. Not the wings of Boaz. But you decided to stay with your mother-in-law. And your heavenly Father is protecting you. And I'm praying that he'll provide for you and bless you. That's what I was praying. And she would think, funny thing is, Boaz had no clue that God was going to use him to bless her. And it was prophetic that he would be God's instrument to protect her and to bless her and to hide underneath his wings. Because as the story goes, cue Hallmark music, Boaz and Ruth fall in love, they get married, and her story changed from hopelessness to incredible hope, taken care of, provided for abundantly and richly. And not only that, Ruth became the great-grandmother of one of the kings of Israel, and not just any king. She became the great-grandmother of King David. God was writing her story. And God inserted her name into the lineage of King David and into the lineage of Jesus Christ himself. And the best decision she ever made is she decided on that dusty road headed to Judah, I'm going to decide to stay when it would be easier to go. You see, when God writes our story, it's a life worth living and a story worth telling, and we are still telling her story. It's amazing. Now, you and I, there will come a time and multiple times in our life that we will face a crossroads in life. Some of you are at a crossroads right now, this week. Some of you, your crossroads coming next month and you don't know about it, or next year. It will happen. It'll happen multiple times. And the challenge is, what will we make? What decision will we make at that crossroads? Will we stay the course? Or will we turn this direction or that direction? And the problem that we have as human beings and as human beings living in the Western Hemisphere is we tend, if it was choice was ours, we tend to find the easiest path possible. We like our comfort. We think it's a violation of our human rights if the road is hard. So if the path seems hard, we're looking for the next exit. And we ask ourselves questions at a crossroads. Well, what do I want? Well, I think I should do that. I feel that this is the way we should go. And we hardly ever bring God into the equation. A sovereign God who sees what path that will lead to, what destination that path will lead to, and he knows what's around the curve or the bend, and he may know, that's rocky now, but wait till it turns, just hang on. And we don't even bring God into the equation, and then we find ourselves telling a story we had no idea that we would tell, and then we get mad at God, it's so unfair, and God's going, oh, you never asked for directions. And you ended up at a destination that you didn't desire. But if you would have just asked, I would have told you. And some of you are on a path and you're going, it's hard. It's uncomfortable. I don't like it. It's hard. It's not fun. And I'm going to decide to go. When God is saying, maybe some of you, God is speaking really clearly today, going, I want you to stay the course. Don't quit. Don't leave. Don't bail. Stay the course. But God, it's hard. It's rocky. Yes, but just hang on. I know where that path leads. Stay the course. And some of you, the best decision you'll ever make is to stay, even when it would be easier to go. So in light of that, we've got to ask a question. The first question, if you're taking notes, is we got to ask, this question is, what does God want me to want? What does God want me to want? We know what we want. You know, we tell God, I'll tell you what I want when I really, really want. God goes, I know what you want, and it's bad. The question we need to begin to ask is, God, I want what you want. God, what do you want me to want? What do you want me to want? Because I want what's easy. I want what's convenient. I want what's profitable. I don't want hard. So God, I want what you want. And in light of this question of you wanting what God wants, next slide please. In light of what God wants me to want, the question is then goes to, well then what does God want me to stay? Does God want me to stay on this path? In light of, I really want what God wants. Because if we want what God wants, we'll make the correct decision every time. In fact, we're not making the decision. God is making the decision. You know, because I was talking with a couple afterwards, the last service, and I gave them advice. I said, oh, I should share that next service. You and I as human beings, we will talk ourselves in or out of any decision to get what we want. So when I pray, I'm like, God, what do you want? God, because I really want what you want. So God, show me what you want, and I add this, and make it obvious. And make it obvious. And then when he makes it obvious, I said, God, can you confirm that? Why? Because emotions come in, and feelings come in, and my own desires come in, and well, I think this, I want this, and I can talk myself into or out of anything, because I am just a pathetic human being, and I'm looking at more pathetic people. God, what do you want? And when God makes the decision, it's always the correct decision. Is it the easiest? Oh, no. Sometimes it's the hardest decision, but then it's worth it. So I'm gonna go through a couple things, and in this whole series, I'm not trying to be God, I'm a horrible God. Ask my daughters. I'm not a good God, but I'm just trying to be a vessel to think, help us to think through, okay, God, what do you want? I'm on this path, it's hard. I want what you want. So the question is, does God, not you, does God want you to stay at your current job? And you're frustrated, and it's hard, but does God want you to stay there? Because there is no random assignments from God. God has assigned you where you're working. Maybe an adjustment of expectations of God, I'm there for a paycheck, and if they didn't pay me, I wouldn't show up. Well, actually, all of us would probably do that. If they didn't pay me, I wouldn't show up. But to change our mindset going, I'm there because you want me there. What do you want to teach me? How do you want to use me? Teachers, right? We got a bunch of amazing teachers all over the county in our church. You should be praying right now because God will give you his classroom assignment and assign every child into your class in September. So you should pray right now, Lord, help me. Because with kids come their parents. But you're not there as a teacher for a paycheck. You're there to be a light in the hearts of those children. So where are you working? Maybe God wants you to stay the course because he wants to use you in greater ways than you realize. Does God want you to stay at your church? Church can be hard because there's people there. And there's mean people, and there's irritating people, and there's inconvenient people, and there's rude people, and then they make decisions I don't agree with, and they sing songs I don't like, and they have volumes that I would not choose to put them that high, and we're just like, I'm leaving, I'm out. Is that what God wants? Or is God saying, I want you to stay? My dad was on staff at my church growing up. I was at one church my whole life until I went off to college and then into the ministry. It was a hard church. My dad and my mom were hurt so much. And the best thing they did as parents, they never told us kids why they were hurt so much. Because we're protective. And we would have gotten mad at the pastor, mad at the church, and said, I'm done with church. They hid their wounds. I found out later. The best decision my parents did is they stayed in a church that hurt them. And stayed in a church that disappointed them. But God ended up blessing my family. If you've been at our church for the last 12 years, it's an act of God that you're still with me. And I just want to say, I'm so thankful that I look out in both services and see people who stayed, chose to stay, when it would have been easier to go. I made mistakes, and I will in the future. And we're flawed. But my heart still bleeds to help people grow, meet, know, and follow Jesus. But Grace Point Church is the church we are today because many of you chose to stay. And I want to say thank you. It wasn't an easy decision because some of you had lots of friends who left. It would have been a lot easier to go. Should you stay in school and try to get that degree, and you're tired and it's expensive and you're working full time and then you're trying to take online classes or take classes at OC and it's tired and you're going, is it worth it? Is it, I mean, it's just so hard. I don't think I can do it. I'm so tired. It's so expensive. The question is, does God want you to stay the course? And if he does, then just maybe readjust your expectations. Instead of a 4-year plan, it's an 8-year plan. And you take a class here, and you take 2 there, and you take a summer class there. And over time, next thing you know, you're going to wake up, and you're going to have a diploma because you stayed the course. And you're going to be able now to apply to other jobs you would have never been able to apply. But way back when, God, when you were frustrated, when you were discouraged, God said, stay the course. Keep going. Maybe God's saying, I want you to stay in your marriage. Some of your marriage is not fun. It is not a source of joy. It's a source of heartache and pain. Now, let me say 2 things before I unpack marriage a little bit. 2 things. 1, I'm not trying to guilt anybody about your past. I could have, would have, should have. We're going to talk about regret in a few weeks. Don't look back. Can't change the beginning, but if Jesus is the author of your story, you can change the ending, all right? You can change the direction of your story. So I'm not trying that. That's 1. 2, I'm not saying stay in a marriage that you are getting physically and emotionally beat up. Get help. Get safety so that they can get healthy, you can get healthy, maybe together eventually you can work on a marriage in a healthy way, in a healthy way. But when marriage gets hard, when you have lost that loving feeling, I'm not going to sing it, and you don't want to come home and you don't want them to come home and it's just, it's a grind and it's hard and you're looking at these kids and you're going, you know what, everywhere I turn in our culture they're saying, well, you know, if you're just not happy, it's time to take the exit. But does God want you to stay? Because in our culture, everything's screaming at us that, you know, if you're just not happy, you need to get out because it's a fundamental human right to be happy. That's the American way. It may not be God's way right now. Well, he's not meeting my needs. And the trainer at the Y, he compliments me. She's no fun anymore. And the girl at work is lots of fun. If you stay on that path of, okay, I'm looking to get out because I'm just not happy anymore. I'm not in love anymore. Then you're going to sit down with your kids and basically they will hear this. We tried. It didn't work. We weren't happy. So we're separating or going our separate ways. Is that the story you want your kids to hear? Because that's the story thousands upon thousands of people are hearing. Or maybe if God is saying, stay. I had a crying wife up here. And God's saying, stay. But it's hard. Absolutely. Because I know there's some stories of couples in this room who go, my marriage at the time, it was hard. It was no fun. And we were like, And so we were praying. And if you honestly, if you tell the truth, you're like, I'm praying, God, please take them to heaven soon. But God didn't answer that prayer. And so we went to counseling. And we put God and church and priorities, and it was not hard. It was not easy. It was not fast. Actually, it was a long road. But today, I'm so glad we stayed, because now we're celebrating our 35th wedding anniversary. See, you can clap for those people who have those stories, because we have some people, that's your story, even the prayer part. And your kids are telling a story. Back here, my parents stayed. I was 17 years old when my parents' marriage was going off the rails. There was no love, there's no affection. And they made a decision to stay. They made a decision to start dating again. They made a decision to forgive. I remember at 17 years old, I'm like, they're kissing in the kitchen again. Gross. Do they still do that? Then they had two more kids. What? We had five kids at the time. I thought they only had sex five times. But God wrote their story. And God wants to write some of yours. You're saying, Barry, you just don't understand. There's infidelity. Isn't there biblical grounds for divorce with infidelity? Yes. But there's also biblical grounds for forgiveness too. For God to do a miracle. So you got to listen to God, not your feelings, not your friends. Is God saying, I want you to stay the course? In all the areas, and there's more that maybe God talking about, is like, it's hard, it's so hard, I want to quit. There's this verse in Galatians, Paul says this, do not grow weary in doing good. If you're following after God and God, okay, God, you're writing my story. It may not be easy, but it's going to be good. Do not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time, and God's timing is longer than ours, you will reap a harvest if you, say it, do not give up. There's been so many times in ministry that I wanted to quit, I wanted to bail, I wanted to move, and then God would bring this verse to my mind. And I'm like, thanks. I'm so glad I listened to it. Stay the course. But one of your best decisions will be to stay when it would be so much easier to go. Years ago, a young preacher was struggling. He was struggling with doubts of his faith. He was struggling with God. He was struggling with the Bible. And what really added to his struggle was that his best friend, who would travel with him and they both would preach as young 20-somethings, his best friend recently denied the faith and walked away from God and can't believe the Bible. And this friend was encouraging this young preacher to do the same. He was struggling. And he was to speak at this conference center in Southern California, a Camp Forest Home, and he was wrestling inside, and he got out late at night and was walking by this lake, and the stars were out, and he was going back and forth and holding his Bible and just wrestling and wrestling. And then he said to God these words, "Oh God, there are many things in this book that I do not understand. There are many problems with it for which I have no solution. There are many seeming contradictions. There are some areas in it that do not seem to correlate with modern science. I can't answer some of the philosophical and psychological questions that Chuck and others are raising. I have no answer. Then he dropped to his knees. And he felt like God was speaking to him, saying, stay the course. Trust in me. And this young preacher then said this, Father, I'm going to accept that this is your word by faith. I'm going to allow faith to go beyond my intellectual questions and doubts, and this is a choice, I will believe this to be your inspired word. And he felt this wash of release. Went to bed next day, spoke at the conference, and his mentor, a lady, a grandma, she noticed, there is more power in his teaching than I've ever seen before. Who was that young preacher? Have you ever seen this guy? Billy Graham. Billy Graham left Forest Home in that conference, went to down the mountain and started in 1949 the LA Crusades that exploded. And thousands of people trusted in Christ. And then he took the crusade all over the country, then all over the world. And the best decision he ever made was to stay when it would be easier to walk away from his faith. And it changed his life, his ministry, and millions of people too. So what does God want you to want? And if God is saying, stay the course, no matter how hard and difficult it may be, the best decision you would ever make. And down the road, there'll be people telling a story about your decision. Let's pray. God, I have no idea what's on the hearts of these people and the heaviness of their soul and their thinking, what I'm in, what I'm involved with, what I'm working at, and the relationships and marriage, all these areas. It's hard. Some of them came today on the verge of, I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to quit my faith. I'm ready to quit church. God, I pray that your truth, your example of this young woman, a widow, Ruth, who stayed, and you wrote her story, and it went from hopelessness to amazing hope and incredible future. So God, I pray that you would give anyone who's ready to quit, but you don't want them to quit, that you would give them courage to keep going on. Lord, help them to choose, to decide, to stay the course. In obedience to you, not some guy up here, but obedience to you. And I pray that you would do this in the name of Jesus and all the power that goes with his name, we say, amen.